Ruth chapter 1. And as I mentioned earlier, we're in this series entitled Interpersonal. And what we're learning in this series is how to build substance into our relationship. We have received so much bad information about relationships. And unfortunately, we've taken that bad information and we've allowed that to be sort of the framework for how we deal with other individuals. And we wonder why we have these difficult times interacting with people. We wonder why people may or may not deal with us anymore. And we want to believe that, yeah, they're the ones with the problem, but unfortunately, most often, it's us. And we never fail to examine how we are and what we present. And as I begin to pray and think through this series, one of the things that continued to leap out at me was loyalty. 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 And how that manifests itself in our marriages, in our dating, in our regular friendships with the same gender. How loyalty comes into play. And so we're going to read this story. Many of you know the story of Ruth forward and backwards. So this will be a refresher for you. And I hope to extract some principles that maybe you hadn't observed. But we're only going to look at the first chapter and just really a segment out of the first chapter. But I want to read the entire. I may read it all. Amen. We're going to see. I may read the whole book of Ruth. Amen. Somebody said, well, I'm going to sit down. As you can see. I'm joking. Just. If your knees begin to shake, you please be seated. Can you hear me good? So we're going to read this. We're going to whisper a word of prayer and watch a video. And then we're going to get into the message for today. Ruth chapter 1. During the time of the judges, there was a famine in the land. A man left Bethlehem in Judah with his wife and two sons to stay in the territory of Moab for a while. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, or Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They entered the fields of Moab and settled there. Naomi's husband Elimelech died, and she was left with her two sons. Her sons took Moabite women as their wives. One was named Orpah, and the second was named Ruth. After they lived in Moab about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two children and without a husband. She and her daughters-in-law set out to return to the territory of Moab, because she had heard in Moab that the Lord had paid attention to his people's needs by providing them with food. She left the place where she had been living, accompanied by her two daughters-in-law, and traveled along the road leading back to the land of Judah. Naomi said to them, "Each of you go back to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to the dead and to me. May the Lord grant each of you rest in the house of a new husband." She kissed them and they wept loudly. They said to her, "We insist on returning with you to your people." But Naomi replied, "Return home, my daughters. Why do you want to go with me? Am I able to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. Go on, for I am too old. I am too old to have another husband. And even if I thought there was still hope for me to have a husband tonight and to bear sons, would you be willing to wait for them to grow up? Would you restrain yourselves from remarrying? No, my daughters. My life is too bitter. My life is much too bitter for you to share, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." Again, they wept loudly, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Follow your sister-in-law." But Ruth replied, "Don't plead with me to abandon you or to return and to not follow you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me and do so severely if anything but death separates you and me. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped talking to her. The two of them traveled until they came to Bethlehem. When they entered Bethlehem, the whole town was excited. They are excited about their arrival, and the local women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara," she answered, "for the Almighty has made me very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has opposed me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" Verse 22. So Naomi came back from the territory of Moab with her daughter-in-law Ruth the Moabitess. They arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. One last time, verse 14. Again, they wept loudly. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. I want to tag this text and preach from this subject, a lesson on loyalty. I know you may be seated. Some of y'all went down quickly. Amen. I think I heard some statements. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we are so grateful for today. We are affirmed in believing that this is the day you have made. You have prepared us for this moment. You've prepared us for this hour. Father, speak to each of us now. May we find in this text, in this story, principles that will help us to live better, to be kinder, and to be more loyal. We commit this time to you now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Loyalty.
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 It cannot be blueprinted or produced.
In fact,
it cannot be manufactured at all.
For its origin is the
human heart.
It is the strength of a family.
And the power
that unites an army.
It is the fullness of devotion and
commitment to a person,
country,
group, or cause.
It has no clauses,
no boundaries.
It is a force that leaps into being
only when conditions are exactly right for it.
And it is a force
very sensitive to betrayal.
It is not earned in a day,
but grows in strength
day by day.
It means nothing unless it has its heart set on the absolute principle
and requires implicit trust.
Loyalty.
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 Why have we forgotten you?
Loyalty. Why have we forgotten you? Our message moment says this: learning to be loyal is one of life's most important lessons. Learning to be loyal is one of life's most important lessons. Everyone under the sound of my voice can reflect on a relationship, a situation, where you were convinced somebody had your back. But at the moment that you really needed that individual, you were saddened to discover that they did not, in fact, have your back. And the pain that you felt, the sheer shock and terror, it took you a while to get over it. And what happens as a result of these sort of wounds and these sort of scars, we began to develop this force field around us where we don't allow people to get too close. Because see, I've been down that road before. I tried this trust and loyalty thing before, and it didn't work out anywhere near what I thought it should. And consequently, now I have a guard up. Many of us have guards within our own families where we just, I can't trust you as far as I can throw you. And so what I've seen in the body of Christ, I've seen where we've allowed some of the world's philosophies and the world's systems, which we'll talk about in more specific detail later, but we've allowed that stuff, that junk philosophy, to become a part of the guidelines for some of our relationships. Look at your sheet. If loyalty were easy, then more people would be loyal. If it were easy, then more people would be loyal. And listen, we don't need a super intelligent theologian to describe what loyalty is. We can make up our own definition for loyalty. Loyalty means you've got my back. That's all it means. It doesn't mean you're gonna lie for me. It doesn't mean you're going to do anything unethical for me, because if you really got my back, according to Galatians 6, 1 and 2, you're going to help me get out of any mess I get into, make sure that I'm fully restored, and then hold me accountable that I don't mess up again. Do I have a witness up in here? Loyalty doesn't leave me when I made a mistake. Loyalty hangs around because that's what loyalty does. So who in here under the sound of my voice, somebody messed over you and you just cut them out? Oh, I need a witness up in here. It's uphill preaching, but I'm going for it. In this passage, we have an unusual story. The story of Ruth is one of the most profound stories because it captures the essence of what loyalty is all about. So I want you to think about your own situation. I want you to begin to write some things down as I give them to you. The first thing I want you to write down is God is always in control. 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 We have the story of this brother. He was taking care of his family in Bethlehem, and there was a famine. It's been documented. There was no food in the land, and so he heard about this pagan land called Moab, and he gathered his family, his wife and his two boys, and they left to go and find food. But understand, it was not a permanent departure. It was a temporary sojourn so that he could simply take care of his family. And his wife, submitting and supporting her husband and understanding the need for her children to be fed, she goes along with it, and they make their way to Moab. Somebody say Moab. And in the fullness of time, God is always in control. This husband loses his life. Elimelech left Bethlehem with his family as a result of a famine. Naomi, on your sheet, left Bethlehem with her family empty. Write that down. They left Bethlehem empty, only to find in Moab more emptiness. But I've already told you, God is always in control. And what the encouragement that someone needs right now is, one of the reasons we have difficulty in our relationships is because things may not be working out in the present. But I already pronounced the blessing over your life that God is always in control. And so often we can't experience the fullness of God because all we can see is our emptiness. So there is Ruth. She got these two boys, lost her husband. And then she goes on, and they stay in Moab, and they meet, their sons meet two women, two Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. And they married these women. They're married to them for at least 10 years, says the scripture. And then these two young men, Mahlon and Chilion, they die. I want to paint a picture for Naomi. Naomi left Bethlehem with her family empty, and she eventually lost her husband and her sons, causing her to feel empty. One emptiness was for physical food. Another emptiness was for emotional loss and pain. Now, I don't know who I'm dealing with, who I'm talking to, but every single one of us can testify that there are some moments in our lives where we simply feel empty. Come on, saints. The situations just are not working out the way we had hoped. We had our plans. We had our design. We had it all worked out. We're going to go from this place to this place. We're going to do this. But as things work out, I'm still empty. I need you to know God is in control. Now, we can't see the hand of God yet. But somebody say, God is always in control. Oh, that's the worst I ever heard y'all say. Say, God is always in control. So we have 3 women. I call them the trio of widows. Each of them has lost a husband. One has lost a husband and 2 sons. The pain that these 3 women share is almost unimaginable, but yet they have to continue to move forward. Look at verse 6. She and her daughters-in-law set out to return, verse 6, from the territory of Moab, because she had heard in Moab that the Lord had paid attention to his people's need by providing them food. She left the place where she had been living, accompanied by her 2 daughters-in-law, and traveled along the road leading back to the land of Judah. The 3 of them made a decision. You know what? There is now food in Bethlehem. We're going to go with Naomi to Bethlehem. It's a sealed deal. Let's go. And so as they begin to make this journey, suddenly Naomi said, wait a minute, this is not for your benefit. She's letting them know, I don't have anything really to offer you. This is a one-sided relationship. You're taking care of me because you're young, but I'm not so young. I passed the age of bearing children. I don't have anything that I can offer you. Somebody say, God is still in control. I'm feeling this by myself. God is still in control. 3 times, Naomi speaks to these beautiful daughters-in-law, and she tries to convince them that she has nothing to offer them. This is Naomi's plea. Get that down. She makes a plea. Verses 8 through 14, she said, listen, go back home. I don't have anything. I don't have anything for you. I love you, and I know that you love me. You've cared for me. You've been by my side since I lost my 2 boys, and I appreciate and I value who you are, but I have nothing to offer you. Now, let's talk about this modern philosophy of relationships. All the stuff we love to post and to quote. Here is one of them. If somebody can't do nothing for you, you need to leave them alone. Oh, y'all ain't gonna help me preach this. When the Lord takes you to a certain high level, that means people gotta fall off because they can't hang with you at this height. I go back to the 80s. What have you done for me lately? Man, I'm telling you. And see, as we joke about it, some of us have those philosophies embedded in our relationship experience. So in every relationship, some of us don't hook up with someone unless they can do something for us. Ooh, I'm preaching to myself. And I'm not talking about the worldly hookup. I'm just talking relationship. I'm talking girlfriends and girlfriends, brothers with brothers. If the person can't do something for me, I can't be in a relationship with you. Because I'm trying to go places, and if all you're here to do is take, you need to get in line because I don't have time for this. I'm trying to make something of my life, and I need for you to know that. And right now, some of y'all are wrestling, but Pastor, I don't see anything wrong with that because in the text, you have Naomi making a bold statement. Here's what she's saying. What you need, I can no longer give you. What you need, I can no longer give you. Now, we will not do a comparison contrast of Orpah and Ruth. Because Orpah in the text, look at verse, let's say verse 14. After three times of Naomi pleading with him, she said, listen, please go home. Return to your family. I can't do anything for you. I can't have sons for you. You're going to wait till I can have sons? Are you going to wait until I give birth and hold out and not do anything and then remarry? She said, that doesn't make sense. In verse 14, again, they wept loudly. They wept loudly based upon the closeness and the intimacy of their relationship. This was a difficult point and a turning point in their relationship. They wept loudly. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth, I feel that by myself. But Ruth clung to her. Let's write. Watch this. The Lord led Ruth to cling. Get that down. Write that down. The Lord led Ruth to cling. The Lord led Ruth to cling. Now here's where it gets tricky because, again, we're not going to make Orpah into an enemy. Orpah was obeying what Naomi told her to do. And it was difficult for her, which is why she was crying, which is why she kissed her, which is why she was lamenting the whole way that she was going. She was torn by this whole situation. Let me tell you why. Because of relationship. Help me teach this, Lord. Help me teach this, Lord. Because of relationship. Let me tell you something. If somebody gonna walk off from you and they ain't got no tears, look at me, y'all. After whatever investment you've made, after whatever situation y'all have been through, if they ain't got no tears, either they are a sociopath or they never loved you in the first place. I want to set somebody free. So don't you waste your hard-earned tears lamenting over something. I need a witness up in here. But where there is real love, where there is real authentic relationship, there is going to be the tearing, the severing of that when the relationship transitions. Orpah is not to be ridiculed because she too is following in the plan of God. So watch this. But the Lord led Ruth to cling. I told you, God is still in control. See, she nor Naomi had any idea of the Lord's master plan. She had no idea what the Lord was planning and orchestrating behind the scenes. There are some blessings that are connected to our compassion. See, I want us to understand some things about relationship. Are you able to be in a relationship, a friendship, where the person that is your friend needs you, but you may not necessarily need them? Oh, I'm trying to help somebody up in here. Because all this preaching and worldly philosophy I'm saying is you got to hook up with people who are on your level and you got to be this because you're going somewhere. That is some worldly stuff that has infiltrated the church that doesn't jive with scripture that makes us feel good about our own prideful self. Preach, Pastor Brown. And we miss these wonderful illustrations like Naomi and Ruth. So Ruth responded in compassion for somebody else. So I pray we can get this principle. Because I believe we're missing out on some blessings. Because some friendships we just let go. I got some friends in my life, they wear me out. My wife can testify. They wear me out. You got some friends just hold the phone? Y'all ain't got no hold the phone friends? And I got some friends I can put on speaker, put the phone down, walk away. Come back to the phone, say, uh-huh, and go on. But watch this. That 5 to 10 minutes that I invest, I know I'm half listening, don't judge me, but that 5 or 10 minutes that I invest is an investment in their life. It adds value to their life. What do I get out of it? Not much, but it doesn't matter. Watch this. That's what friends are for. I know y'all wasn't going to shout today, but it's all good. That is all right. So let's walk through these few things that we're gonna raise up out here. I want us to rethink the clinging of Ruth, and I want us to reconsider some of the things that, or some of the relationships that we've walked away from, because the Lord had been trying to do something greater behind the scenes that we just did not see. God is still in control. The world has taught us a lie that if a person cannot directly benefit our life, then they are dispensable. Look at me. I want you to hear this before I move on to my last few points. Oh, I got more than that. Help me, Lord. People are not dispensable. I know you may have been thrown away by somebody, but that doesn't give you the right to throw away somebody else. Loyalty. Help me, Holy Spirit. Let's deal with this real quickly. God will always be in control. Get that down. God will always be in control. Say that with me. God will always be in control. I think I missed that. My notes are kind of off. We're going to get through this together. Amen. The Lord led Ruth to cling. Loyalty is founded in love. Get that down. Loyalty is founded in love. Loyalty is founded in love. We did a series several months ago on the one another's. And the whole purpose of this series was to help us to understand how each of us are interconnected, how we need each other in our faith journey, how no believer is an island. And so we walk through the love one another's, bearing one another, supporting and serving one another's with joy. These one another passages help us to capture a picture of what our relationships ought to look like. And it is the love that is at the foundation of loyalty that helps us to maintain healthy relationships. See, love is seeking the best interest of another individual in a spirit of self-sacrifice. And I believe that Jesus Christ manifested loyal love, hesed love, based upon his actions on our behalf. But even simpler than that, look at how the Lord Jesus invested in his disciples. This was a relationship that they were the only ones that were benefiting. Jesus wasn't benefiting, they were benefiting, yet Jesus stayed in relationship with them. Why? Because of love. See, we got to rethink our whole concept of love. Love has become so self-serving and not self-sacrificial. Oh, Maybe it's cloudy. Y'all ain't with me on this one. So loyalty is founded in love. Secondly, loyalty seeks best for all involved. All involved, not just Stephen Brown. See, we've been duped into thinking that it's okay, expected, even necessary to be self-serving. This is narcissistic. This is all about me. That's a big fancy word which simply communicates it's all about me. So if I ain't happy, if I ain't getting nothing out of it, if you ain't pleasing me, then I can't have no part of this relationship. Why? Because it's all about me. My happiness, my peace, my joy, it's all about. I need a witness up in here. Every television show we watch, every reality show we watch, it is about people fighting because they want to be served themselves. Loyalty seeks the best for all involved. So in this situation where she could have gone back to Moab, she chose to cling to Naomi. Understand this. In a business sense, Ruth chose partnership over sole proprietorship. She chose a partnership over sole proprietorship. She said, listen, we're going to stay in this together. I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to stay with you until the end because I feel led to do so. And my leading is based upon my love for you. But understand this. She didn't understand God was working behind the scenes. Let's keep it going. Loyalty trusts God's faithfulness. Loyalty trusts God's faithfulness over man-made victories. In this passage, Naomi had pronounced a blessing over these beautiful daughters, and she let them know, may the Lord show kindness, verse 8, to you as you have shown to me and the dead. May the Lord grant each of you rest in the house of a new husband. See, Naomi understood the value of these young women not allowing their lives to end because she had perceived her life to have ended. So she wanted them to continue to flourish. So she began to pronounce blessings upon her two daughters-in-law. Naomi's love for them was demonstrated in her willingness to let them go. The very ones who were taking care of her because she wanted what was best for them. So as she pushed her daughters-in-law away, God was pulling Naomi into her own destiny. As she pushed her daughters-in-law away, Naomi didn't understand that, yeah, she called herself Mara, but she didn't understand the Lord was still working something out for her good and for his glory. Church, I need for you to have that sort of loyalty in your relationships. I need you to reconsider some relationships that you have chosen to throw away because of the worldly philosophy, because of worldly thinking. And I want you to know, listen, the Lord has called us to a higher standard. Let's wrap this up. We talked about God is always in control. God is still in control. God will always be in control. As we make our way to verse 22, when they return back to Bethlehem and she calls herself Mara and they lament with her and they see her sorrow and her pain. Verse 22 lets us know there's always a new beginning. So Naomi came back from the territory of Moab with her daughter-in-law Ruth the Moabite. They arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley fest. That last verse lets us know that there's something that is new on the horizon. Now, I don't have to preach the whole story of Ruth. I can just sum it up real succinctly. Ruth is placed in a relationship with what is called a kinsman redeemer. Stay with me. He was related. He was in her family lineage, her husband's family lineage, which allowed her to get married to another man, Boaz. She found her Boaz. That's a bad word right there. And as she walks in her purpose, watch this. I need for you to understand, she never would have met her Boaz if she had not displayed loyal love to Naomi. She never would have walked into her destiny if she hadn't thought beyond herself. She never would have experienced what she was about to experience had she not allowed herself to think beyond herself and to consider someone else's issues and interests. Beloved, stop believing what the world says. Why? Because some of us are missing out on our Boaz. And I'm not making this up. In Matthew chapter 1, we discover a name that is in it. You can turn me if you want to. It's an amazing thing. In Matthew chapter 1, I just scroll down to verse 5. And it says, Salmon fathered Boaz by Rahab. Boaz fathered Obed by Ruth. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered King David. My sermon is over. That's my message. That's my message. I want you to get this last point. I'm running out of here. I ain't lying. Watch this. Ruth's loyalty, get ready to write. Ruth's loyalty places her in royalty. That's your word. That's your word. Her loyalty placed her in royalty. Her loyalty placed her in royalty. And I need for you to know, child of God, this goes against the current culture, but I need for you to embrace the fact that when we are loyal to the things of God, we may not look like the world. We may not have the things of the world, but one thing we have that the world ain't got is to be in God's will for our lives. Now, God's will may not look like a new car. God's will may not look like a bunch of money in your bank account. God's will may not look like no new clothes. But let me tell you what God's will looks like. It looks like peace that passes all understanding. It looks like joy that surpasses all understanding. It looks like hope that surpasses all understanding. Some of y'all still ain't ready to shout. I need for you to understand that Ruth went from being a Moabite to being a daughter of the king. She went from being a pagan worshiper to being in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Because if I were to read my verse in Matthew chapter 1, it would affirm that coming on down the line, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Have I got a witness? It says he was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. He went on to heal and deliver, open blinded eyes, unstopped deaf ears. Help me close this. He was persecuted. He was falsely accused. Hail Hosanna on Friday. Crucified Friday night. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. And as I read his lineage, I find one name in there, and that name is Ruth. Is there a witness in the house that God can take you and put you in the book? Is there a witness in the house that can testify that if I'm loyal, I can look forward to being royal? Say yes! 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 Hallelujah! Hey! Let's go home now. Let's go home. Everybody stand up. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Give God some glory in this place. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, preachers. We're going to do this quickly. Come on, come on, come on. I want you to grab your neighbor's hand right where you are. Our invitation counselors are moving, but I want you to grab your neighbor's hand. I want you to grab it firm. I want you to press it. I know this was a hard teaching. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. It ain't fair, Pastor. I don't want to be loyal. I just want to look out for me. Loyalty is too much work. Now, I didn't preach this in the message, but I need for you to know, because some of y'all are wondering. Loyalty does not mean you make yourself a doormat. Sometimes you got to say that. Folk will falsely assume and draw conclusions. Loyalty does not mean you stay in abusive situations. That's not loyalty. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about relationship. Well, y'all may have a disagreement. And y'all fall out for the rest of your life, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. What's that group? The Hatfields and the McCoys just separate just for no reason. You don't know what happened. What happened? Well, y'all, I don't know. Something happened in 82. I don't know. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Hold your neighbor's hand. Y'all, we got to break this spirit that is pervasive in our faith, and we got to keep it real. We got too much of what the world says, too much Facebook philosophy, and it's costing some serious relationships. And I see it every day, y'all, and it breaks my heart. And I've been working on mine. I've been calling people more frequently, reaching out to folk. Y'all saw my father at church anniversary last week. We've had a tumultuous relationship. And it was my father-in-law, Nicole's dad, who told me, keep trying. He said that word to me on the porch of his house one day, and from that moment, I have kept trying. And the Lord has given us a relationship that I never thought I'd ever experience. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Check this out. Give God some praise. You gonna tell me I'm in my house with my father, my mother, and her husband, and you gonna tell me what the Lord can't do? You hear me, Miss Helen? Y'all, we gotta understand the value of being loyal. Somebody under the sound of my voice, you need to contact a parent, a grandparent, aunt, uncle, somebody today. Today. And let them know that you'll be there for them. Just reach out to them. Just reach out to them in faith. Oh, Pastor, you don't know. It's so confusing. I know it's confusing. I know it's messy. But the word that Ruth gave us is cling. Somebody say cling. Y'all, we got to learn how to cling. And cling means, listen, it may be rough, it may be tough, but I've got your back. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this simple message. Thank you for meeting us at this point of need. And Father, I fully understand there's so much more that we got to deal with. But Father, I'm grateful that you've allowed us to scratch the surface. And Father, I'm asking that you would help some relationships to begin the process of restoration. I'm asking in faith, Father God, that in the same manner that you allowed Ruth to cling to Naomi, that many of us would begin to cling to some relationships. Father, it's difficult to be betrayed or let down. But Lord, when we look to Jesus, how he was betrayed, how he was deserted, but yet was still available to restore, was still available to love and to be compassionate. Father, help us to emulate Christ. And Lord, I'm just tearing right now that your spirit would touch the hearts of everyone under the sound of my voice. Help us, Lord God, to be loyal. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let everybody say amen.